Hey everybody, it's Corey from CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com, and I just saw A Portrait of a Lady on Fire, written and directed by Celine Sciamma. So caught this movie at home on Hulu. I did want to see it like when it first came out, but just never got a chance. It got lost up, I think, in a lot of other awards fair, and just kept missing it until eventually it left theaters. But I'm so glad that I finally got a chance to see it, because it's a wonderful, beautiful little film. Basically, the story is, and please forgive me ahead of time because I'm going to butcher all kinds of French names, and it's mostly because of my indiscriminately southern Baltimore accent, which makes me swallow all over O's and stuff. But Marianne is a painter who has been brought to paint a portrait of Louise, who is going to get married, but the painting is like a gesture so that the prospective husband knows what he's getting. And they stay at this island of Brittany in the late 1800s, where there is a servant, Sophie, and the mother, La Comtesse. And at first, the Marianne is supposed to sort of act like a walking partner and paint in secret, but after the first painting comes out and it was not acceptable for anybody, Louise had said that she would pose for the painting, and from there La Comtesse leaves town and leaves the girls to their merry ways. I want to start with the plot, just because it you know, like, the story is what brings this whole thing together, and as far as the plot elements and story points and stuff like that, this is pretty much as little as you're going to be able to get and still make the movie work. And that's not, I'm not trying to cast aspersions here or anything like that, I'm just saying that it's hard to tell a story that, like, I saw Sonic a couple weeks ago. These are completely polar opposite movies, obviously, but Sonic had no story whatsoever, no plot, no anything. It was just moment to moment to moment. And it worked in the sense that it was, it allowed you to get to from beginning to end, but it didn't feel satisfying. This one felt very satisfying, and it's hard to say usually that a movie that has so little intricacy in the story elements is so deep. And I mean, it's part of like this minimalist style that Sciamma's got it going on. It's really every frame paints a picture, and I think that's very much of the style of a movie that's talking about a painter who's doing a portrait. Now, that being said, this movie basically turns into the romance between the painter and the subject, and the bonds of femininity which tie them together, as well as Sophie, who is also going through a pregnancy and is going to have to get rid of the baby before La Comtesse comes back. I guess part of what makes the lacking of story points or plot elements so endearing in this, in the overall, is that it's all about short-term things. It's about a relationship between the subject and the painter that is going to go away after the painting is done. It's about Sophie's relationship with her unborn child, who she's going to abort, and the short time that the two of them are connected in this way. It's about the fact that a new beginning of the life is going to start happening, and things are going to change, and this is a moment where a lot of things move, and we find ourselves in this like interstitiary place. That being said, so as far as like I say that it's a little lacking on the story, I don't think that it hurts the film being lacking on the story. Where I think it makes up for the fact is that everything is... It's very much a French film. They show a screen, and this is the moment of before, like, very early in the film. Marianne is on the boat out to the island. Her equipment flies off the boat, and you hear the sound of men laugh. You don't really see men, but you hear the sound of men laughing. And then she goes out into the water and saves all her gear, and then goes back to the boat, and then they go to the island, and then there's a hike up the hill, and then finally she's there. The journey is over. And she takes a shower, and then we cut to a frame of her just sitting in front of the fireplace, smoking a pipe, naked right after the shower, just sort of like sitting there with her knees up, sitting on the floor. And it's the type of thing that in a French film, you know, like a long static shot of somebody smoking a pipe sitting on the floor means so much more than just I'm smoking a pipe after I've gotten out of the shower on this long journey. These moments sit with you a lot more, and it's way more of an introspective film than most you see from sort of the Western world. But every single, kudos to everyone involved in the production side, because the vistas that they're going on their walks are beautiful. The beach, the cliffs, the just everything, just all, like, every element of this movie is done perfectly as far as creating the atmosphere and creating this place. Like, I felt like I was there. I felt like there I was there in a very poignant sort of way. I felt like this is a place where I've also had these feelings before, even though I've never been to France, I've never been to Brittany, I've never been on a boat going anywhere outside of France. Like, I don't know these experiences yet. The way that they were told through the language of the cinema was brilliantly done and made me feel like these are places that have real meaning to me as well. And that was a masterstroke by everyone involved on the production side of this thing. Now, I didn't want to make it seem like I was putting the actors aside, because I sort of just wanted to touch on, like, the space in which they were able to play before I got into them specifically, because we gave them this incredible space to play. It feels very real. It feels very authentic to the viewer. It feels like a place you know. It feels like a place you know heartbreak. And on top of that, you get these players who are just incredible, all of them. They do remarkable jobs. The three leads in particular, Noemi Merlant, Adèle Haenel, and Louane Bajrami, they all just have these wonderfully little subtle but, like, effective performances. I'm super interested in seeing, like, other things that they'll do. The only Xiaomi movie I had seen before, and I don't even think I saw the whole thing, I just sort of caught bits and pieces, with Water Lilies, where Anel was in as well, because the two of them are in a relationship together. Yeah, I mean, like, I just think that this is a coming out party, I feel like, for especially Anel is a more well-known name, but Merlant, this has sort of one of her first big moments, and Bajrami, she's young, she's 19, she still has a lot of promise ahead of her, and I'm really excited to see where they all go. And Valeria Galino is wonderful as well, but she's the fourth person that we see the most in this movie, but she kind of cuts, like, right in the middle, and we don't see her for a while, but her sort of energy lingers on, and I think it's because it's a very strong performance by Valeria there. A lot of this, though, I think is really about just, like, the physical acting that is going on. The faces and the choices that are being made. I don't speak French, so I can't speak to how the cadence and the delivery fits within the ears of a native French speaker, because I'm judging off subtitles. And this is a problem that I felt like I had with Parasite as well, which was, you know, I can understand that there's great acting going on there. I just can't quantify every little bit of it because I'm at the disadvantage of not knowing the language. But in this one in particular, like, just that there was something in the water going on in this one, because the choices, the way that the whole thing was played on the face was just beautiful. And specifically for Merlin, she has such a unique face. It looks like the type of thing that I would like to, if I was a painter, I would look at her and say, I need to paint you. And I feel like that's part of how we got to this point with her being the subject of the painting in the movie. And Shyama just wrote effectively like a romance era novel and turned it into a movie. And it didn't feel, you know, the part of the reason why you would hear a lot of people say, like, oh, I prefer the book over the movie, is because the book, you can spend 10 pages getting into somebody's psychology about how they feel something, and it makes you feel deeper to the character. And in the movie, there's no effective way to really do that, especially if you're turning like a 500 page book into a 2-hour movie. It's just like, there's things that get cut, there's things that get compressed, there's characters that get combined, all that sort of stuff. This feels like a novel. This feels like a movie that is just a cinematic version of a novel come to life. I wouldn't say that the paintings within the movie do the same thing. I don't feel like the paintings ever really transcend to the same level that, like, the filmmaking and the acting and everything is. So it sort of feels like the art is not as poignant, which is part of the, I mean, like, this is the means by which we've gotten to the story is the art. And I feel like that's a little lacking, but really, I mean, I'm nitpicking right now. There's not a lot wrong with anything with this movie. It's pretty immaculately done. One thing I did really enjoy, though, it was very fascinating to watch a movie with nearly no men. I mean, there's some men in the beginning on the boat. There's some men. There's like sort of like a witching bonfire thing that goes on about halfway through, and there's a couple men there, but they're in the background, their faces are, you know, out of focus, their backs are turned, like, there is no men of consequence in this movie, yet the feeling of men, you know, as a detriment on these women's lives is ever present. Like, it just, you feel the heaviness of men around, which is a very interesting way of going about the story. I feel like there was some real honest tenderness and beautiful romance between our two leads, and I think that telling it through a nearly 100% female gaze allowed it to find itself in a different way. And more than anything, I felt like these characters weren't so much in like even though the relationship between them was sexual and, you know, went along the lines of sort of a sexual romantic relationship, it almost felt like there was just a bond between these two that was so close that there wasn't really a label to put on it. And there's something about creating that atmosphere of what we were feeling was really incredible work and should be applauded throughout. This frame's looking a little lonely, so I'm going to paint a little leaderboard over here. It's leaderboard time. It's moments like these. I felt like this way when I saw Parasite. It's moments like these. I really wish I knew how to speak French. Because I feel like this movie is kind of, there's a detriment to me being able to understand this movie to its fullest extent. Subtitles definitely help because it lets you know like a literal translation of what's being said. but you don't get the same feeling as when a person, when you understand the language being spoken to you and how it works and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a part of me that feels like if I was a native French speaker or just a fluent French speaker and I watched this movie, I might have a completely different, more appreciative view of it. But it's not for lack of trying. This movie transcends without the language, and that's for sure. If I had to give it a rating, though, I would give Portrait of a Lady on Fire an 8.5. Really beautiful film, really enjoyable. I would like to see it again. I looking back on award season now and knowing that this was out there as a potential nominee and something, I mean, like, I felt more strongly about this movie than I did a lot of other ones that ended up getting nominated or you know, winning anything, even if it was like on an acting level, because I feel like all of these, the three main girls in this movie could have easily been nominated for things if the barrier of them being a French film didn't sort of hurt them with the American Academy. Anyway, that's it for me. If you want more, you can go to my website, CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com, Facebook.com/CoreyBakerFilm, and at LegendsDB5 on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. I'm going to do a review of Kevin Smith's new Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which is a very spiritual successor to this movie, obviously. And that will come out on Monday, so please tune in for that one as well. In the meantime, if there's anything else that you're seeing that you want me to talk about, I'm happy to do it. I've sort of avoided doing, like, long-form documentaries and stuff like that, but, you know, if people really enjoy a Tiger King review or whatever, I can throw that one together. Anyway, that's it for me. If you don't mind, I have to stay here just for the foreseeable future. Au revoir.